someone. Good night, my love.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. Today, we remember Broadway star Rebecca Luker. She died last Wednesday of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. She was 59. Luker received Tony nominations for her performances in Showboat, The Music Man, and Mary Poppins, and also starred in a revival of The Sound of Music. She had a beautiful voice. We were lucky enough to have Luker on our show 4 times. We'll hear her sing and listen to excerpts from those interviews. Later, our jazz critic Kevin Whitehead will remember some of the many jazz musicians who died this year, and we'll listen to some of their music. That's coming up on Fresh Air. Today we're going to remember Broadway star Rebecca Luker. She died last Wednesday at the age of 59 of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Luker had a beautiful voice. I loved hearing her sing and feel lucky to have seen her on Broadway and to have had her on our show 4 times. We're going to hear excerpts of those interviews. Luker received Tony nominations for her performances in Showboat, The Music Man, and Mary Poppins. She also starred in a Broadway revival of The Sound of Music. She was married to another Broadway star, Danny Burstein. We send our condolences to him. We'll start our tribute with our interview from 2000, when Rebecca Luker was starring on Broadway in a revival of The Music Man in the role of Marion the Librarian. This part of the interview begins with her singing Till There Was You from the cast recording of that revival. Rebecca Luker in the part of Marion, the librarian. You have songs with what seems to me, anyways, to be a really big range that starts off in the bottom of your speaking range and ends up on really high notes. But you have a voice that's very well equipped to do that. This was probably not even a stretch for you.
Oh, how to comment on that? Well, I guess the range is right in my voice. I have to say, I've done this role twice before, and the range is, I guess it is a big range. It goes up to A flat and then starts pretty low, but I try to keep it all sort of in the same, register and try to make it sound like I'm speaking more than singing. And it has been hard. It's been hard. It's a lot of work and a lot of songs, and it did take a lot of rehearsal and a lot of discipline to make it, sound. If it sounds easy, that's just because we rehearsed a lot, worked hard on it.
Let me play something with you, Rebecca Luker, singing on the cast recording of The Music Man. And I thought we'd go with a ballad that is not that famous. It's called My White Knight. It's a really lovely song, has, I think, quite a big range. You do start off as if you're speaking and then soar.
Yeah, this one has a big range.
Yeah, yes. Say something about the song. It's too bad this one isn't as well known.
Well, it is. It's not that well known. Probably one reason is that in the movie they interpolate the Meredith Wilson's version into the, you know, into the song. In the middle of the song, you hear My White Knight as we do it in the show. And it's surrounded by another song called Being in Love, which I'm not even sure if Meredith Wilson wrote that. Someone else wrote it, I think. And maybe Lesser wrote it. But it's one of my favorite songs now. And hopefully when people see the show, they come away feeling that way about it. Like, oh, I never knew it was, you know, a good song. But the way we arranged it for the show is David Chase, our conductor and musical director, had the idea that the beginning was too high. It was too high to sound natural. So we lowered it about a fourth. And then a few lines later, we jumped back up to the original key. And it works so well. And it just sort of naturally flows into the song the right way. And then it ends on an A flat and, you know, big money note at the end. And it's just, you know, it's one of my favorite songs now, though. It's such a lovely song. And it just, it sort of encapsulates Marion and how, you know, how she, who she is. And it makes her, you know, you understand her better and know where she's coming from better from the song.
When the song starts, you know, Marion's mother saying to her, you know, yes, it's about time you found a guy and nobody's of interest to you. What are you waiting for? And
and she
sings this in response. This is My White Knight, Rebecca Luker singing on the new cast recording of The Music Man.
My white knight, not a Lancelot, nor an angel with wings, just someone to love me who is not ashamed of a few nice things. My white knight, what my heart would say if it only knew how. Please, dear Venus, show me now. All I want is a plain man. All I want is a modest man, a quiet man, a gentleman, a straightforward and honest man to sit with me in a cottage somewhere in the state of Iowa, and I would like him to be more interested in me than he is in himself, and more interested in us. Occasionally, he'd ponder what makes Shakespeare and Beethoven great. Him I could love till I die. Him I could love till I die.
That's Rebecca Luker from the new cast recording of The Music Man. Rebecca, you grew up in a small town in Alabama. Did you feel connected at all to the small town of River City in The Music Man?
Yes and no. I mean, I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, but I wasn't there too many years. I moved when I was four. But actually, I moved to even a smaller town than Birmingham. So, yes, in a way, I guess I was acquainted with sort of that kind of slower life and, you know, how you know your neighbors and that sort of thing. So that was a connection, yes.
How small was the town you moved to after Birmingham?
Helena, Alabama. I don't know the population, but it's small. I mean, we're talking, you know, six traffic lights or something, you know. So it hasn't changed in 30 years probably.
Was there any theater
there? No one from Helena's listening. No. Oh, no. There was little theater in Birmingham, so we'd go there to, if we ever did see theater, it was in Birmingham.
Was there any local entertainment?
You'd go to the movies or of course, my university town, Montevallo, was even further south, and I guess you could go there to see some plays and things, but... We didn't, church was a lot. I went there a lot to sing and be entertained.
What kind of songs did you sing in church?
Mostly, I grew up in the Baptist church, so we had that sort of secular, kind of popular type music. Bill Gaither, if you know anything about that kind of music. Nothing classical, nothing Bach or, none of the good church music. It was all sort of that contemporary religious music. And hymns. We did some of the old hymns, of course.
You want to do a few bars of a hymn you sang when you were a kid?
Just as I am without one plea. You know that one?
No.
But, okay, never mind. And we'd sing.
They didn't sing that one in my synagogue.
Yeah. We'd sing about 12 verses of that while the preacher stood at the end waiting for someone to walk down the aisle and join the church and...
Why don't we take a pause here and listen to some more music from the new cast recording of The Music Man. And Rebecca, I thought we could listen to you singing Goodnight, My Someone.
Okay.
This is a very familiar song from the show. Do you want to say anything about the song? And
I love when it comes in the show, I think you need a ballad. I've often heard the audience say that by the time, Marion goes out on the porch and the moonlight, hits her and she sings this beautiful lullaby that it's just a wonderful change to what's been happening. The Harold's been singing Trouble and stirring the town up and they've had the town meeting and everything's going at full blast. You get to sort of relax a little bit. There's been a lot of goings on before this happens and it's just a lovely song that's one of my favorites.
Okay, this is Goodnight, My Someone, Rebecca Luker from the new cast recording of The Music Man.
Someone, good night, my love. Sleep tight, my someone. Sleep tight, my love. Our star is shining, it's bright as light. For good night, my love. For good night, sweet dream.
That's Rebecca Luker, who plays Marion, the librarian, in the new Broadway production of The Music Man. Now, Rebecca, your first role on Broadway was in Phantom of the Opera. You were an understudy for Sarah Brightman, who is the lead, and you were also in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Did you spend a lot of time hoping that you could play the part?
No. I mean, that was a special situation, actually. We had Sarah and an alternate, Christine, who was being played by Patty Cohenour. And so my chances of going on were very, very slim as the two of them, sort of switched off. But after about 10 months, they just gave me a show so they could see me do it. And I suppose I was pestering them to give me one or something. I don't remember. But no, I was itching to go on. So they gave me a show, and that's how I finally got on. But it was a great place to start out, though, even being in the ensemble. It was I call it Camp Phantom. I learned so much, and it was a great experience.
And you eventually got to play the lead in that show.
And eventually, yes, right after that, took over for Christine.
That was Rebecca Luker, recorded in 2000, when she was starring in a Broadway revival of The Music Man. We'll continue our tribute to her and hear a couple of songs from her 1999 performance on our show, after a break. This is Fresh Air.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from E-Trade. Trading isn't for everyone, but E-Trade is. Whether it's saving for a rainy day or your retirement, E-Trade has you covered. They can help you check your financial goals off your list. And with a team of professionals giving you support when you need it, you can be confident that your money is working hard for you. Get more than just trading with E-Trade. To get started today, visit etrade.com/NPR for more information. E-Trade Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC.
Let's get back to our tribute to Broadway star Rebecca Luker. She died last week of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. We're listening to highlights from her Fresh Air appearances. In 1999, we did a show about songwriter Jerome Kern as part of our American Popular Song series. Luker and singer George Dvorsky performed several songs on that show. Here's an excerpt, starting with their duet of Kern's song, Look for the Silver Lining. George Dvorsky starts it off.
Please don't be offended if I preach to you a while. Tears are out of place in eyes that were meant to smile. There's a way to make your very biggest trouble small. Here's the happy secret of it all. Look for the silver lining whene'er a cloud appears in the blue. Remember somewhere the sun is shining, and so the right thing to do is make it shine for you. A heart full of joy and gladness will always banish sadness and strife. So always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
As I wash my dishes, I'll be following your plan, till I see the brightness in every pot and pan. I am sure your point of view will ease the daily grind, so I'll keep repeating in my mind. Look for the silver lining whene'er a cloud appears in the blue. Remember somewhere the sun is shining, and so the right thing to do is make it shine for you. A heart full of joy and gladness will always banish sadness and strife. So always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
Thank you. That was beautiful. That was George Dvorsky and Rebecca Luker singing with William Hicks at the piano. Why don't we hear another early song by Jerome Kern, one that was popular, very popular in its time, 1914, but is virtually never done today. It's called You're Here and I'm Here. You want to sing it for us?
Let's sing.
Sure, it'll be fun.
We two are traveling in Loveland today. We've gone astray and lost our way. What matter, time or place or if we have lost our way together? You're here and I'm here, so what do we care? The time and place do not count, it's the one who is there. Now all I ask is room for two, and to be there with only you. It would be heaven when two hearts are true, hearts like yours and mine. The skies are fair everywhere and the sun seems to shine, and now the wide world seems a little cozy corner for you and me.
There are are just two on earth and no one beside. My little bride, here by my side, not of the busy world reminds us. I only hope that no one finds us. You're here and I'm here, so what do we care? The time and place do not count, it's the one who is there. Now all I ask is room for two, and to be there with only you. It would be heaven when two hearts are true, hearts like yours and mine. The skies are fair everywhere and the sun seems to shine. And now the wide world seems a little cozy corner for you and me. You're here and I'm here, so what do we care? The time and place do not count, it's the one who is there. Now all I ask is room for two, and to be there with only you. It would be heaven when two hearts are true, hearts like yours and mine. The skies are fair everywhere and the sun seems to shine. And now the wide world seems a little cozy corner for you and me.
We heard Rebecca Luker and George Dvorsky recorded on our show in 1999. Luker loved Jerome Kern's music and recorded an album of Kern's songs in 2013. After a break, we'll hear an excerpt of the interview I recorded with her when the album was released as we continue our tribute to Rebecca Luker. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
I'm old-fashioned. I love the moonlight. I love the old-fashioned things, the sound of rain upon a windowpane, the starry song that April sings. Sighing sighs, holding hands, these my heart understands. I'm old-fashioned.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Blue Air. With people spending more time in their homes, Blue Air's most advanced air purifier ever, Health Protect, is the only air purifier with Germ Shield technology that monitors your room and turns on when needed. Blue Air's award-winning air purifiers are designed in Sweden to combine high performance with whisper-silent, energy-efficient operation. Learn more at blueair.com/NPR.
2020 had a lot of us rethinking our lives. 2021, LifeKit wants to help you make those changes, whether they're big or small. All this January, LifeKit will give you smart tips to think through your next decision. Listen now to the LifeKit podcast from NPR.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with more of our tribute to Broadway star Rebecca Luker. She died last week at the age of 59. We're listening back to excerpts of her four Fresh Air appearances. When we left off, we heard her perform Jerome Kern songs on our 1999 program about Kern's music. She loved Kern's songs, and in 2013 released an album of them. That was the occasion for the interview we're about to hear. The album is called I Got Love. We started with a track from it, Kern's song Once in a Blue Moon.
Once in a blue moon, you will meet the right one. Once in a blue moon, find your dear delight one. Then with a thrill, you know that love is true. Once in a lifetime, when the moon is blue. Are called deceivers ever, and women flirt with passion. One true love that lasts forever sadly out of fashion. Moonlit madness under a pale sky, flames that turn to ashes and then die. All too soon the lips that kiss may learn to say goodbye.
Once in a blue. Rebecca Luker, welcome back to Fresh Air, and congratulations on your new album. What a beautiful song that is, which a song that I wasn't familiar with. It's a lovely song, and I like the way you start off unaccompanied, which is a kind of brave way to start an album, to sing unaccompanied, because it's the first track on the record. What made you decide to do it that way?
Yes, it is. What you have to be sure you're on in the key when the musicians join you, which is, I always find that to be fun and challenging.
The lyric for the song is written by Ann Caldwell, and it's interesting that Jerome Kern wrote with several women lyricists at a time when there were so few women lyricists, because there's Anne Caldwell, there's Dorothy Fields, who's probably the best known woman who
that,
wrote
that's
with.
Right.
And then there's a third whose name I'm not remembering, because it's a name I was unfamiliar with.
You could be thinking of Irene Franklin.
Yes.
But he only wrote, I believe, one song with her. That's a funny story. You know, in My Husband's First Wife, she was in the cast, and she was a comedian of the time, and she wrote her own showstopper with Jerome Kern because Oscar Hammerstein was too busy to write it, or, you know, something like that. So I believe that was his only song with Irene Franklin.
So she wrote the song for herself?
She did. The show, I forget the name of the show all of a sudden. My Husband's First Wife was, Sweet Adeline.
Yeah.
That he wrote with Oscar Hammerstein. And I think, as the story has it, Oscar Hammerstein was too busy writing other arrangements, and she came to Kern he came to her and said, "Would you write your own lyrics to this song?" And she said, "Absolutely." So she came up with this really funny song for the show, and it was a showstopper.
And
you
do it on the album, and it is.
And
really
I do it
funny.
On the album.
Yeah, so it's called My Husband's First Wife. Anything you want to say about it, we'll give it a spin.
Oh, sure.
That sounded so old-fashioned. We'll give it a spin.
We'll give it a spin. Yeah,
but old-fashioned suits the album, because some of these songs, like this one, are so old-fashioned. This sounds like an old vaudeville song.
It absolutely, and it you know, it was 1929, but a little bit after, maybe, I guess vaudeville was the whole 20s. My husband Danny wrote his own verse for it for my 54 Below show. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but we couldn't record it because we weren't allowed to, but we had a lot of fun writing a third verse to this song. But I just think it's a very funny, a wonderful old song.
After we hear the song, would you sing your husband's verse?
Yes, I'll see if I can remember that.
Okay, you think while we play the song.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay, so this is Rebecca Luker from her new album of Jerome Kern songs, which is called I Got Love. And the song is My Husband's First Wife.
There once lived a wonderful woman. Oh, a marvelous woman was she. She cooked like an angel, made all her own clothes. At 4 every morning, this paragon rose. She played the piano and cello and scrubbed up the kitchen each day. She sang like a dove, and she wasn't above taking in refined washing, they say. She was my husband's first wife. My husband's first wife. She never was cranky, she jumped when you'd call, and the house ran on nothing at all. So he tells me, my husband's first wife. My husband's first wife. She hated bicycling, it gave her no thrill. She never went out, and she never was ill. And oh, how I wish the dear girl were here still. My husband's first wife. My husband's first wife. My husband's first wife. She sang as she brought up the coal every morn, and she mentioned vacations with scorn. So he tells me,
My husband's first wife, my husband's first wife. Her figure was lovely, just 18 she looked. The children were scrubbed and their shoes always hooked. They were born in the morning, but dinner was cooked by my husband's first wife.
So that's Rebecca Luker singing My Husband's First Wife from her new album of Jerome Kern songs, which is called I Got Love. So, did you remember the lyric that your husband wrote for this 1929
yeah.
song?
Yeah, we laughed a lot doing this, by the way. Mostly they're his, Danny Burstein's lyrics. So,
my husband's first wife, my husband's first wife. Her skin was like porcelain, her pores always clear, and wrinkles refused to appear. So he tells me, my husband's first wife, my husband's first wife. Her shopping was thrifty, completed by dawn. She'd beat you at chess just by using a pawn. She had all five babies while mowing the lawn. My husband's first wife.
Ta-da. Good.
Danny Burstein.
I'm sure there's many, many more waiting to be written.
Man, we laughed so hard. You should have heard some of the earlier versions that we came up with. Very funny.
So I want you to introduce another song from your new album, and this is the song The Folks Who Live on the Hill. From your album of Jerome Kern songs, he wrote this with Oscar Hammerstein. It's a pretty famous song. It's a standard in the jazz world.
Yes.
What do you love about this song? And tell us where more about its origins.
Yes. When we decided to do this song, I heard a million versions of it, and I thought, well, should we do it? Because everybody's done this song. But I discovered it through just listening to many, many different Jerome Kern songs, and I wasn't familiar with Jerome Kern's Hollywood period as much as his, earlier theater works. But he and Oscar Hammerstein wrote some astounding songs for Hollywood scores in the 30s. So I chose Folks Who Live on the Hill, and we sort of went with the jazz tradition that so many people do. But I think we put a slightly fresh spin on it, and I just wanted to represent that period of his career, which I think is so rich and full and unexpected.
Okay, so this is the folks who live on the hill, from my guest Rebecca Luker's new album called I Got Love, Songs of Jerome Kern.
Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop high, you and I, shiny and new. Cottage the two can fill, and we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill. Someday we may be adding a thing or two, a wing or two. We will make changes as any family will. But we will always be called the folks who live on the hill.
That was Rebecca Luker singing The Folks Who Live on the Hill from her collection of Jerome Kern songs, which was the occasion of my interview with her in 2013, which we just heard an excerpt of. My final interview with her was recorded about 11 weeks ago. It had been a rough year for her and her husband, Broadway star Danny Burstein. He starred in revivals of Fiddler on the Roof and Stephen Sondheim's Follies, as well as in Moulin Rouge. Earlier in the year, Burstein was hospitalized for COVID. Then Luker came down with a relatively mild case, but it was on top of having been diagnosed a few months earlier with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. After Burstein wrote an article about having COVID and then taking care of Luker, who had become increasingly weak, we invited them back on our show. Luker's symptoms seemed to be progressing rapidly. She was at the point where she was having trouble speaking, although just 4 months earlier, she had performed a song at a Zoom event to raise awareness about ALS. Here's an excerpt of my interview from October 12th with Rebecca Luker and her husband, Danny Burstein. You both have received Tony nominations for your performances in musicals. Becca, it seems like you are just such a natural singer. I can't imagine it. No one could learn to sing like you unless they had a gift that they just had, you know. And Danny, you've said you never really thought of yourself as a singer and that you had to work at it. Although I think you're a terrific singer. I've heard you in several musicals. But compare your approaches to how you developed into singers.
Well, Becca opens her mouth and her heart falls out. It's just a gift that she had from birth. She opened her mouth and this beautiful sound came out. I know she worked like crazy at it, but it's something that is innate in her, this beauty and goodness that comes out of her when she sings. I never had that. Oh, so I had to concentrate on the lyric and putting the lyric over and storytelling more than anything. And that got me by. And I was a good enough musician to make it work. But that's how I have to work twice as hard on a song, maybe 10 times as hard. And Becca will pick up, and she's also an amazing musician. So she'll pick up a song and be able to read it down, you know, and then just sing it. And I don't read music that well. I read some, and it takes me forever.
But I learned a lot from Danny because he's such a great actor that it made me better over the years. Absolutely.
Can you put your finger on something that you learned from him?
Oh, just how to communicate a song. When I was younger, I would really fall back on just the fact that I had a pretty voice, you know? So as I matured, especially after I met Danny, he would help me make things work more, you know, mean more. I learned to act a song as opposed to just sing it.
Just a few months ago in June, when you had a little more breath, you did a Zoom event to raise awareness about ALS, and you sang a Jerome Kern song called Not You, that's also on your Jerome Kern album. I thought, since we're talking about your voice, that we might hear a little bit of that.
I just think it's one of the most beautiful early Kern songs ever. Sondheim said he liked it too, so that's good. Kern just speaks to me so well, you know. I feel like it's I was meant to sing Kern.
Thank you so much for this conversation and for sharing so much with us.
Thank you.
Lovely talking to you, Terry.
Here's Rebecca Luker, recorded in June, singing the Jerome Kern song, Not You.
There's a certain someone, and I'm anxious he should hear me. Who? You. Always has me worried and in trouble when he's near me. Who? Strength of mind was fine, an independent spirit mine. I used to think I'd walk alone, do everything upon my own, and that sweethearts true were for girls that I knew and were not in my line. But now I stand alone, I must decline. There's a certain someone, and I'm anxious he should hear me. Who you always has me worried and in trouble when he's near me. But there's one I know, if he were near me now.
That performance from last June turned out to be Rebecca Luker's final performance. She died of ALS last Wednesday. She was 59. The interview we just heard with her and her husband, Danny Burstein, was recorded on October 12th. I'm grateful for the recording she's left us with. We send our deepest sympathies to Danny Burstein. After a short break, our jazz critic Kevin Whitehead will pay tribute to a few of the jazz musicians who left us this year. This is Fresh Air.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Doctors Without Borders. Right now, Doctors Without Borders teams are on the ground in over 70 countries, providing life-saving medical care to those who need it most. Awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1999, Doctors Without Borders is known around the world as one of the most trusted humanitarian organizations. To learn about making a lasting gift to Doctors Without Borders by including the organization in your estate plans, visit legacy.doctorswithoutborders.org. This message comes from NPR sponsor Driftwell. Sip into relaxation with Driftwell, who believes a well-rested world is a better world. That's why they created Driftwell, an enhanced still water beverage designed with evening relaxation in mind. With 10% of your daily magnesium, a hint of blackberry lavender flavor, and L-theanine, it's designed to help you relax and unwind. Driftwell is a non-carbonated beverage with no sugar or calories. It's a whole new way to cap off your day.
Dozens of notable jazz musicians died in 2020, many from COVID-19. We lost far too many jazz musicians this year to even mention all of them. The drummers alone we lost include John Christensen, Ray Mantilla, Jimmy Cobb, Charlie Persip, Viola Smith, and Candido Camero. Earlier in the year, Fresh Air remembered pianist McCoy Tyner and saxophonist Lee Konitz. Now jazz critic Kevin Whitehead remembers seven other musicians who died this year.
Guitarist Bucky Pizzarelli was one of those musicians you heard more than you knew. Playing on TV shows and a zillion record dates where his unobtrusive, often bluesy licks and sturdy rhythm chords quietly made a big difference. His guitar and bass-playing kids carry on the tradition. Another jazz patriarch died on the same day, April 1st, Ellis Marsalis. The swinging aesthetic he imparted to his famous sons and to countless students made him one of the real tastemakers of jazz over the last 40 years. Ellis Marsalis was also New Orleans' emblematic modern jazz pianist, back when his kids Branford and Winton were toddlers. Another product of a musical family, tenor saxophonist Jimmy Heath, who died at age 93, sometimes played in the Heath Brothers Band with his siblings Percy and Albert. In Philadelphia in the 1940s, Jimmy hung with fellow up-and-coming saxophonists John Coltrane and living treasure Benny Golson. They worked hard to play fast and clean, creating a Philadelphia tenor style. Here's Jimmy Heath in 1975. Thank you. Annie Ross, who died in July, was an actor as well as singer. She'd occasionally combine those careers, as in Robert Altman's film Shortcuts. Acting and jazz singing have much in common. In either case, you have to sell the story, and sometimes to appear totally relaxed while performing several complex actions at once. Annie Ross was at it by the early 1950s, before joining the vocal trio Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross.
I wondered if I was high or if it was a mere hallucination. I turned round and found something I thought was merely my imagination. On my blouse, a mouse sat there, and this is what I started to hear. If you want to hear the story of a mouse in all his glory, then I'll tell you all about the time I was gigging with a band. And all the cats thought I was really the end. They always stand around to hear the sound that was coming from a crazy little creature who was standing on the bandstand. That was me.
In 1964, Gary Peacock had played some of the wildest bass then captured on record with free jazz saxophonist Albert Eiler. Later, Peacock applied the same intense physicality and leaping lines in less extreme settings, notably in pianist Keith Jarrett's long-running trio with Jack DeJohnette on drums. Gary Peacock made the bass violin sing in its own quirky voice, and his confidence in the upper register dared other bassists to aim for high notes when they solo. We'll end with two trumpet players. In a music that prizes the personal voice, Wallace Roney did something profoundly tricky. He made no secret of his admiration for Miles Davis at several junctures in that trumpeter's career. But Roney absorbed Miles's values so completely they became his own, a way to express himself, so his playing didn't sound like a stunt or gimmick. Even Miles liked it. Wallace Roney had a beautiful, sometimes melancholy tone that could touch you in its own right. Personally, I'll miss three departed musicians who worked at the fringes of jazz. The master of improvised and interactive electronics, Richard Teitelbaum, the Dutch pianist and instrument inventor, Cor Fuller, and finally, the resolutely untamable Japanese trumpeter, Toshinori Kondo. When he was in the mood to really blow, Kondo's raw, go-for-broke horn conjured the expressive power of the early jazz pioneers. That ancient earthy cry keeps echoing down the decades, bound for jazz's future. Musicians pass. The music keeps rolling.
Kevin Whitehead is the author of the new book, Play the Way You Feel, The Essential Guide to Jazz Stories on Film. And he writes for Point of Departure and The Audio Beat. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, for New Year's Eve, we have some wonderful music to end a not-so-wonderful year. We'll feature our concert by and interview with singer-songwriter Loudon Wainwright and Vince Giordano, who leads the band The Nighthawks. He plays tuba and bass. They teamed up for a new album of songs from the 1920s and 30s called I'd Rather Lead a Band. It includes songs by Irving Berlin and Fats Waller. I hope you'll join us. I'm Terry Gross.